This morning, we have two scripture readings and a poem, and I will read Psalm 100 and then the poem Self-Portrait, and Laura will be reading the scripture from Matthew while she gives her sermon. This is Psalm 100. It's a wonderful psalm. Make a joyful noise to our God, all the earth. Worship our God with gladness and come into God's presence with singing. Know that our God is the one true God. It is God that made us, and we are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's name, for our God is good, with steadfast love that endures forever, and faithfulness to all generations. Now I'd like to share a beautiful poem that I assume Laura found and we are sharing with today, called Self-Portrait by David White. It doesn't interest me if there is one God or many gods. I want to know if you belong or feel abandoned, if you know despair or can see it in others. I want to know if you are prepared to live in the world with its harsh need to change you. If you can look back with firm eyes and say, this is where I stand. I want to know if you know how to melt into that fierce heat of living, falling towards the center of your longing. I want to know if you are willing to live day by day with the consequence of love and the bitter, unwanted passion of your sure defeat. I have been told that in that fierce embrace, even the gods speak of God.
Okay, is Madonna on? Maybe. Am I here? Oh, you can hear me. Look at you. Thank you. Helpful. I appreciate it. All right. Well, Crossroads, oh my gosh, it is so good to be with you. I said at the start, not on. Okay, what did I do? Pull it back out of my pocket, okay. That we can do. Thank God for pockets, this has pockets. Okay. Use a handheld? Okay. All right, thank you. With your hand, I know. It is a nice moment to feel, okay, all right.
Try now.
Woo! All right. I like it. It's like a lot of power. They don't mic me at my church, so I just have to. All right. Well, I was saying, Crossroads, that it is so good to be with you all, and I was grateful to have adult ed at 9 because almost every time I find myself back in this sanctuary, I get pretty overcome by emotion, and so it's good to mostly feel like I'll make it through the sermon without crying. I am so grateful to Kahu David and the whole 100 years anniversary committee for this invitation. 100 years! How fabulous is that? And Kahu David and I were having coffee a couple days ago, and he looks at me and says, when did you leave? How old were you? And I said, 8 months. He goes, wow. It is really wonderful and surprising that people still love you so much. And I was like, yeah, that's true. And that's the thing, Crossroads, it is surprising and it's not. Because as Noah reminded me, you have lived into your baptismal vows. When you promised, not even you in this room, but when you as a collective, as a body of Christ, promised to love and support me through my life, here we are 35 years later. And that love is still so strong. Thank God for that. So thank you for having me here. Thank you for being you. Thank you for your living witness of God's love and welcome that you've extended to many, many over the years. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you who meet us here in our joy, in our pain, with our hopes and our fears, break open our hearts to hear the word that you have for us today. Permeate our bodies with your spirit, that we may see you all among us and within us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all these gathered hearts near and far, thank you, Zoom, be a joyful shout to you, O God, our healer, our liberator, our redeemer. Amen. So, Nancy, thank you for reading those first two readings today. And I'll admit, when I was thinking about this sermon, like a whole month ago, which is very in advance for me, I will say, I was ready to leave the gospel text behind entirely. It seemed like Psalm 100 and self-portrait would do the job perfectly. Pretty much encapsulated everything I want to say on this open and affirming Sunday. Do whatever you have to do. Be who you are. Be whoever you have to be in order to make a joyful shout to the Lord. Praise the God who created you just as you are. Know that you, Crossroads, you are God's people. You are God's person. Even if this world, especially when this world tries to change you. Listen to those words again from David White. Are you prepared to live in this world with its harsh need to change you and look back with firm eyes and say, this is where I stand? Are you prepared to do that? Am I? Are we, church? That could be the sermon right there. Are we doing that? Are we saying, this is where we stand? Are we living out that message of truth and hope and fierce burning love? This is where we stand. In all our glory, in all our mess, praise God for churches and communities that help us say, this is where I stand. That help us to know that it is okay to say, this is where I stand fully myself. This is who I am, and this is where I stand. So like I said, that could have been the whole sermon. But unfortunately for you, it's not. Because I then read this text from the Gospel of Matthew. And it comes from chapter 9, which is just a few short chapters after Jesus has concluded his first big public sermon, that Sermon on the Mount. And that's a long sermon. It actually goes 3 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. But by the time you get to chapter 8, he has finally stopped preaching and gotten around to doing things. And so follow along if you would like to. I am reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. Verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. And then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, she is sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. Hallelujah, church, the Spirit is still speaking. Okay, so crossroads. As I said, we're back in that part of the gospel where Jesus has come onto the scene. He's called a few disciples. He's been baptized in the Jordan. He's been tempted in the wilderness and preached that first big sermon. Now he's come down off the mountain and started putting the good news into practice. And he starts here with Matthew. Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew, the disciple. Matthew, the person no one would have considered to become a disciple of this new rabbi, Jesus. You may recall that the first disciples that were called in the Gospels are those fishermen out by the Sea of Galilee. Also, maybe not your first choice of disciples. Not necessarily economically or socially powerful, but also not necessarily objectionable. Odd choice, sure, but not offensive. Here, Jesus' calling of the tax collector is downright offensive. An outcast of society serving as an arm of the Roman Empire, someone who the Jewish community pretty understandably did not want to associate with, not the type Jesus was supposed to call, not the type that Jesus was supposed to go to dinner with, and yet dwell with, eat with, travel with, he does. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners. I have come to call those who stand outside of acceptable society. I've come to call those who have been dismissed, despised, degraded, and ignored. I have come to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that looks like a circle of belonging wide enough to include everyone. I've come to bring liberation and mercy and love. I've come to not to call the righteous, but the sinners. It's an important line in the sand that Jesus draws right there and makes again and again throughout the gospel. He is here for the outcast, the forgotten, the least of us. Those that we look at and say, well, those choices put you there. Jesus calls into his fold. And then take this woman just a few verses later, unnamed and yet well known for the suffering she bore, the pain she lived with, and the shame she carried, literally and figuratively, appears next to him in the crowd. Just this morning, I was reading an email listserv of women telling their stories of fibroids. Did you expect me to say that word during the sermon? And the fact that these women, so many of them, had gone to doctor upon doctor who hadn't believed their experiences, had talked to family members, only to find out years down the line that this ran in their family, but no one ever talked about it, is astonishing. Now, here in 2023, so imagine this unnamed woman suffering from hemorrhaging for 12 years. And she puts herself in Jesus's proximity, does not grab a handful of that cloak as though that would be too presumptuous, but instead touches just the fringe. Just the fringe. Just enough not to make a fuss or cause a disturbance or even draw attention to herself. Just enough to be healed. And yet Jesus turns. And turns that moment that was meant to be hidden away into the shadows and brings it to light. Brings her to light. Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Take heart, daughter, you are seen. You are known. You have been made well. God, just think about how we respond to women these days. I still don't talk about menstrual cramps with my dad. Now we do because you're on Zoom, Dad. Happy Father's Day. Reproductive rights, pregnancy loss. We've just started talking about these issues more publicly. Imagine how this woman would have felt. And imagine how much courage it took to say, this is where I stand. I deserve healing. I deserve to be seen. And Jesus turns and sees and names. A miracle in and of itself. In his ministry, Jesus is once again bringing the kingdom of heaven to those we least expect, seeing those we expect him to ignore. And finally, we come to the synagogue leader and his young daughter, a father at the edge of crisis, driven to ask for mercy from this strange avenue, driven to ask for a miracle, for life where death seems imminent. How many stories do we know that don't end like this? That don't end with a miracle, with life restored? But here, a young girl rises, held by the hand by this strange man to live and walk again. These are the stories of Jesus's ministry, liberation, healing, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And it sounds a whole lot to me like a pride festival. People being named and healed, seen, really seen and celebrated, that is what pride is here to do. That is what an open and affirming congregation is here to do. Church, it took a long time, even having grown up in open and affirming churches my whole life, it took a long time for me to start claiming and exploring my own queerness. I grew up in a church where it was okay, but it was only okay in kind of specific instances. Because I also grew up in a world where homophobia was the norm, and being mistaken as a lesbian was embarrassing, and being bisexual was basically not a thing. The church can only do so much. I grew up in a church that loved me as I was, but I grew up in a world too that wanted to change me, that wanted me to live a certain way. You all too grew up in this world. And even now in my mid-30s, I find myself questioning it. Am I queer enough to stand here and say, this is me? How do I talk to my family and friends about it? Can I just live my life and let the chips fall where they may and people can deal with their own reactions? Why the constant exploration and evolution and new layers to be undone? Can't I just be done like this forever? But here's what I'm slowly discovering, church, and it's super fun to do while you are leading a church, I will tell you that. I am like an onion. You are too. I have layers upon layers of hurts and shame and beauty and playfulness to still uncover. There is so much I still don't know about myself. And queerness, that huge umbrella and somewhat uncomfortable term encompassing all of the sexual orientations and gender identities, that is one of the ways I get to play and explore and realize who I am at my core. It is one of the ways that I get to explore the way I want to love, give love, and receive love in this world. It is one of the ways that I get to claim my own healing and wholeness, where I get to say, this is where I stand. And thank God I got the message from church my whole life that God would love me in all of that. I was a little nervous about naming my sermon today, Everybody's Gay. So I just sent it off to Kahu David just to see if he would say, But instead he said, my daughter loves Lizzo. And I said, great, perfect, we're excellent. And while I'm not sure that everybody is gay, although sometimes I think everybody is gay, I do think we all have good and faithful exploring to do, friends. I do think this is the call and the joy that we all get to explore. And in the chorus, I'm not going to sing the chorus because I'm not Lizzo, but I do encourage you to drive home with it turned on really loud. Lizzo sings, "Dance the Night Away. Everybody's gay. It's a happy place in here. Baby, you are safe. We can take our masks off. We can all dance and parlay. I can hardly wait." Church, you can take your masks off. You are in a place where it is safe to take your masks off. Thank God. We can be safe together in pursuit of our own healing and liberation and joy. We can find the kingdom of heaven here at church or in the Pride Parade or in our chosen communities. There are so many of us who got put into boxes so young, We didn't even realize they were boxes. And those boxes aren't necessarily bad. They may even have kept you safe. But if you are wondering, Crossroads, about where an open and affirming church goes in 2023, it starts with you, with your own journey, with your own exploring, with your own wounds, your own dreams, your own beautifully unique self. I don't know the amount of people, the amount of conversations I have had, who, when we start talking about this, they say, oh yeah, I stopped doing that as a kid because it wasn't okay. I loved that about myself, and I got teased for it. Dance, church. Dance to Lizzo. She is the future of healing, folks. Maybe our new Jesus. Find joy even when it is hard, because the world is hard. I'm here from South Carolina. The world is hard. This church can be a place of belonging for your whole self. And you may think being ONA is about welcoming others, but it's more radical and beautiful than that. It is about welcoming you. The parts you've hidden away from the world, the parts you may still feel shame about, the parts you thought you had to change. Your God and Jesus through her welcomes all of it, calls all of you home, all of you into liberation, so that each and every one of us may be brave enough to stand and fiercely say, this is me. On the other side of that claim, God waits, clapping away, dancing away, starting the music, waiting for you to arrive. Let it be so. Amen.